And good afternoon, Central Texas. This is Tom McNew. Welcome to another edition of the Hometown Hero. I have the pleasure of sitting with Miss Heather Gardner, and the crowd goes wild.
Small crowd.
Small crowd. No, lots of crowd. Big crowd listening. Appreciate Heather taking some time out of her busy calendar. We're going to talk a little bit about her transition. Many of you know her formally as the executive director for Central Texas Coalition for Life. And Yolanda and the team down there are doing a fantastic job. But now you're working for 40 Days for Life. And so we want to talk a little bit about your role, your job, and that transition and all that stuff. So welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
All right. So as I alluded, talk a little bit about the experience of being hired and then what your actual role is with the organization.
Okay. So going a little bit back down the timeline, I actually worked for Sean Carney before, because when I was a student at Texas A&M, the Brazos Valley Coalition for Life was there. That was the original Coalition for Life. And so Sean recruited me out of college. 40 Days for Life came out of the Coalition for Life, and it became so big that it had to be its own entity,
right.
Because the local Coalition for Life couldn't handle coordinating hundreds, first dozens and then hundreds of other cities across the world. So
a wonderful problem to have.
Exactly. So eventually, after working for the Brazos Valley Coalition for Life for a couple of years, I transferred to the Austin area and served as the executive director for the Central Texas Coalition for Life for many years. It's really crazy to believe it's been so many years now, and
right.
So much has happened. And then a couple of years ago, I wasn't looking to find work somewhere else. I wasn't advertising that I was in the market for a new job, but all of a sudden, several different offers started coming to me, and
really?
All completely separate. They didn't like all get together and anything and talk. I thought to myself, okay, I'm pretty sure God's trying to tell me something.
Yeah.
And so 40 Days for Life was one of those offers. Sean had since transitioned from the local Coalition for Life in College Station to the National 40 Days for Life, and has served as their president and CEO for many years now. So Sean called me up, and I think he was the second one to call me, and he was like, "We want you to come work for National." And I was like, "Oh, that's nice. Like, thanks for that offer, but I'm good." And I knew that we had a lot of work to do here in Austin. And he was very kind, and he said, "I want you to know that you will always have a place here if you ever think you want to come and work for National someday." And I was like, "Well, that's
awesome.
Really nice. Thank you, Sean. That just really meant a lot." And then a couple of months later, he called me. He was like, "No, I'm serious. We really need you to come work here." And I was like, "What do you mean? Yeah. What do you need me for?"
Full court press.
Yeah. So he shared with me that I already knew that 40 Days for Life National had been growing really fast.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed someone to oversee their 365 locations, which for those who don't know, there are a few locations across the country and other countries too, that will go beyond 40 days once or twice a year, and they will do a year-round prayer vigil.
Mm.
And that can look like 6 days a week. That can look like 2 or 3 days a week, but it's at least a day a week or more throughout the whole year.
Right.
And so we call that 40 Days for Life 365. They basically created this position for me. They had me in mind because of serving for so many years leading a year-round organization in Austin, Texas. And so that was something I could definitely see myself doing well in. They also wanted me to come and help. I help with sidewalk outreach now, with training sidewalk counselors. That's one of my favorite things to do. So I've stepped into that role of teaching that and teaching an introduction to that when we do our regional workshops. And they said, "We want you to be on the podcast too." And at the time, they had been running a podcast for about 6 or 7 years, I believe. Yeah. And I kind of laughed. I was like, yeah, sure you do, Sean, whatever, you know. And I thought maybe I'll be a guest on the podcast every now and then. But no, it turns out that they wanted me to be on pretty much every podcast with a few exceptions. So that's been fun.
Yeah.
When we record in studio in College Station, we'll do a whole bunch at one time. But it's been really fun. We've covered a lot of interesting and challenging topics, of course. I've really enjoyed it. I was honestly intimidated by it because I just thought those guys are so knowledgeable about so many topics, and I don't want to be on this podcast and sit there and look like an idiot. Right. So so far, I don't think I have.
So far, so good. I can attest.
Oh, good.
So far, so good.
Good. It's been really interesting, and I've had fun even writing several of the scripts for the topics that we discuss, because I think it's, you know, when you go out and you talk with so many leaders across of different organizations and 40 Days for Life leaders across the country, you hear a lot of people's concerns, a lot of people's questions, what's on their mind, how can they combat this challenge here and this challenge there. So those are really good ways for us to take those things into consideration and say, okay, let's discuss this on the podcast so that we can give you some, hopefully some good tips on how to better end abortion where you live, as we say. So so that's been great. So I started there April of 2023, transitioned from the local Coalition for Life here to the national role. And it does not seem it's been over a year already, but it's been a fun ride so far. So.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about that transition. We'll get into some of the specifics of the things you do, but talk about that transition from largely the Diocese of Austin focused. Mm-hmm. And now you have, using air quotes, authority. Or responsibility, probably a better word.
Yeah.
Over the entire country.
So there were parts about the transition that were difficult that I knew would be, and that was mainly just, you know, trusting God and letting go of that role locally, because it's been what I've dedicated my life to for so long, and there was some uncertainty. We had a very difficult time finding a new director. And so, praise God, he brought Yolanda to us, and she's so faithful, and she's been trying to make the role her own. And I have stayed in close touch as much as she needs me to, and as much as the team here, you know, needs me to for help. And that's what I told everybody. What was funny was when the word was getting out to the local pro-life leaders and different people here, everybody was like, oh, well, you're moving away. You're going to be gone. We're not going to see you anymore. And I was like, no. I'm staying here. I'm staying in Austin. I'm just going to be working on a national level. And I'm not going to be coordinating the local efforts. That's going to be delegated to somebody else now. I'm still going to be here supporting the local ministries as much as I can. I'm still going to participate. This is my community. Like, I'm not going away from my community. And thankfully, I have been able to still keep in a relatively good touch with a lot of the leaders here. I have, so I've definitely been traveling a lot more in my new role as the 365 coordinator. And my role is primarily to help those groups advance their campaigns. If they go from leading a spring and a fall campaign to, okay, now we want to do all year long, and that means that we can start by covering one day a week, then we look at, okay, do you have the ability to pick the abortion day first? You know, start with the abortion day. If you have two abortion days, pick one of them and then go to two if you can't, or go to two right away, whatever you can do, and start there and then cover the rest of the days. But the end goal, short of closing these facilities down, the end goal is that these 40 Days for Life 365 locations will be covering their abortion facility or abortion referral facility all business hours of the year. And so that's what I'm helping them work towards, not to stay stuck at, we're going to do this one day and that's it. Sometimes that's all they can do, and it's going to take a little bit longer. Sure. But how can we get the word out there more? How can we get more invitations and more people putting their convictions into action to get on the sidewalks to build your campaign even more?
I would imagine that there's a little bit of, you got to provide a little bit of an appetite suppressant sometimes when people are like, let's do this, and they want to jump both feet in and may or may not have the infrastructure and the number of volunteers required to do that. I think there's that there's a, always seems to be a lot of willingness initially, but there I would imagine that there's some danger of doing too much too soon and then it all going away.
That's not, it's normally the opposite. So there
really?
Are situations okay. where we have leaders that are like, yeah, we're going to do this. I have some right now that we're still trying to work out to see, is this going to work out for you to actually be able to do this? Or did you, did you go in way over your head? Because we want to give realistic expectations to our leaders.
Sure.
But no, most of the time it's, we really, really, really want to do this, but we're just not sure if we can, and we're afraid to take that next leap of faith.
Huh.
So we've had this one location, and this guy who was leading it, he was getting ready to move out of state. So he needed to pass along his role to another person. Well, the new person that he passed his role along to, I think he was not quite clear about what 365 meant.
Yeah.
And so I've worked with him on that, but he kept on coming back to me saying, I don't know if we can do that. And I just kept going back to him and to the former leader who was, you know, trying to help with the mm-hmm. transition and saying, no, you're already doing that.
Yeah.
You're doing this now. You've got a leadership team. They haven't left. Only the leader, you know, the former leader left, and he left you, you know, in good hands. And there's this team here. They've been working towards this. And so then I started wondering, well, have your volunteers dropped since you became the leader? And they hadn't. But it was like he had a different idea in mind. He was thinking like, we have to be 1,000% or else we're not doing this kind of thing. And I was like, no, you're already meeting the minimum requirements. You're doing this. Like you're doing this, and we believe you can keep doing this. And so we've been, you know, working with him and making sure to encourage him and give him that moral support that he needs to know, like, it's okay. It's happening. He's able to do it. This is a reasonable, you know, goal. So.
Sure. You mentioned now that part of your role is as training the sidewalk counselors. That takes a special breed of person, in my opinion, to do that. So can you talk a little bit about what that training involves, and maybe if there's somebody listening, how they could find out more?
So 40 Days for Life primarily focuses on coordinating the prayer vigils and getting people onto the sidewalks to pray. It was not so much for many years focused on sidewalk counseling.
Right.
We have, you know, many groups across the country that provide various levels of that type of training. One of the largest groups, of course, is Sidewalk Advocates for Life. So the way that what happened was we started getting more leaders that were asking for us to offer a training. As many of us do, all these partnering groups, mm-hmm. if it's already existing, we point people in the right direction,
sure.
right? But people wanted something very basic. And so the best way to describe it is some of these other programs are like the PhD level, and we offer the community college level.
Nothing
sidewalk
wrong with
outreach,
that.
which is just, that's just what some people want, because it's like they can either do that or they can't do it at all. And so we were like, okay, well, we'll do that. And that way it's not all or nothing for them, that they can have that basic understanding of getting out there, learning what is your, you know, some of the things that we stress is have appropriate signage. You know, your signage really should address people to you to ask for help or ask about information of where they can go. You should be positive in your approach, not sugarcoating or water. Well, not watering down your faith. We're not hiding our faith, but how do we first approach people? We meet them where they are, like Christ did in the gospel. So our first thing is not going to be, ma'am, do you know that Exodus 20:13 says, thou shalt not kill, and you're going to go to hell if you do. Like, that's the wrong approach. That's not a Christ-like following his example. And so the pregnancy centers that are available in our communities are where that more long-term care can happen. We have such a short amount of time on the sidewalk to get her attention and to get her, convince her to go elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to be strategic in the things that you say and the way that you present yourself and the signs that you have. So we encourage people, gather the information about your nearest pregnancy center, your nearest pro-life doctors, whatever the information is, have it on a flyer, have it in a brochure, short and sweet, and just give that information away as much as you can.
It truly is, and sometimes in many cases, a 15-second opportunity to hopefully change some hearts and minds.
Yeah. And there's no magic cookie cutter slogan. Yeah. There are different phrases and different ways of reaching out that work for different people. Sometimes if you say, like, if you know that this is an abortion day, so you know the woman's going in for an abortion. Sometimes if you say, ma'am, please don't do this today. Your baby has 10 fingers and 10 toes and it has a beating heart. We can help you. You don't have to do this, right? And she walks in and she's sitting in the waiting room contemplating, my baby has 10 fingers and 10 toes. My baby, that struck her, right? But that may not strike someone else.
Right.
It may be that you don't, you know, you're not alone no matter what you're going through and there's free help available. Oh, well, I, you know, really need help and I'm mm-hmm. poor and I don't have money. So the free help would really catch my attention. It just depends. So that's, you rely on the Holy Spirit a lot.
That's right. I was just going to say, it's almost like evangelization.
Yes. Yes.
You know, to our Protestant brothers and sisters, as well as the...
Yes.
Are fallen away Catholics that you, it, I mean, there's that same kind of similar approach of allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you, to plant the seed and let the conversion of the heart, be done by the Lord.
So yes. Yes.
It is a special, special role. And, it amazes me. It's a lot like, I think it's a lot like the people who work in prison ministry. It takes a special person, and I am not that person. I'll be the first to admit that. I can stand on the corner and pray until I'm blue in the face.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm not the person that that can approach the young women or the young couples in some cases and to be that. It takes... It's an amazing, amazing thing.
Yes. And it does. It's not for everybody because it also involves talking with abortion workers.
Yeah.
And if you are somebody who harbors anger towards them, if you don't think you can say anything that is not going to be super condemning or negative or hateful, then that's not for you.
Yeah.
And step away and pray, because it's amazing what that attitude can do. And it could be... It could make or break the chance of that worker leaving.
Yeah. I always think about the scene from Unplanned, where early in the movie, there were a group of people and the death dealer costumes and
yes.
the horrible, horrible pictures and, you know, the screaming, like you were saying, Exodus 25, and just how ineffectual they were. And I think that... It's not really part of the movie necessarily, and it's not really part of anything, and I don't have any kind of statistics, but I think that those people have seen over the years with the prayer vigils that their tactics are not effective, and standing in front of out there, a group of people just standing there praying, you know, holding a sign says there's an option, you know, options are available to you. And we're here to help. I think they've realized that some of their tactics are just not as effective.
Yeah, there have been some over the years that have realized that, and it's one reason why groups like 40 Days for Life has spread so far.
Yeah, absolutely,
is because of the simplicity of it, for one, and the effectiveness of it.
So let's talk a little bit about 40 Days for Life. I know a lot of people have heard of it, and maybe they know a little bit about some of the backstory that you alluded to earlier. But, you know, there's this perception that, especially here in the state of Texas, that, oh, hey, you know, Dobbs was overturned Roe, and it's all done. And, you know, we can all slap high fives on the objective, and we don't have to worry about this anymore.
It is false to say that abortion is over in Texas. We need to really be clarifying in how we're talking about this. So yes, abortion has been made illegal overall, and human lives, unborn lives, are protected from conception on, for the most part, in the state of Texas, mm-hmm. legally. Thank God.
Amen.
That is the supply that has been majorly decreased, but the demand of abortion is very high. Now, the abortion industry and our mainstream media have said and still continue to say women will get abortions elsewhere. So your little pro-life laws aren't really going to stop women from getting abortions. You're just making it harder. Okay, well, that's factually untrue.
Yeah, yeah.
And while we can't, okay, we can look at how many abortions Texas used to have versus how many we have now. And we can say, okay, we had, 30,000 a year.
Yeah.
And now we have next to zero. Okay. Does that mean that no one in Texas is getting an abortion anymore? No. There's a few things to think about. Yes, some women are going across state lines, mm-hmm. either into other states or into Mexico, mm-hmm. and getting abortions. Some of them are getting abortion pills mailed to them illegally. But how do you enforce that? Yeah. Very difficult. But we can tell, we can easily see that abortions have declined, that there are not nearly as many of abortions that have happened by just looking at the birth rate alone, mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. Texas. So from late 2021, when the Texas Heartbeat Act was enacted, until today, we've seen the increase of birth rates. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but it's a significant number, yeah. of increase in the birth rate in the state of Texas. That's proof alone,
yeah, exactly.
that those babies are here, mm-hmm. most mm-hmm. likely because abortion is not as available, yeah. anymore. So praise God for that.
Amen.
But there are, yes, are still women in our communities, next door neighbors, in our churches, sitting in the pews with us, who are finding out they're pregnant and are desperate and yeah. need to know that there is help available. And I have to say, I have been very disappointed to see the lack of understanding of that and the amount of people who are pro-life or who have been pro-life on some level over the years who have walked away, who mm. have just... They, for whatever reason, in so many people's minds, Roe versus Wade was the end goal, instead of, no, we have to change the culture. We
minds.
Have to build a culture of life. We have to change hearts and minds. That does not change instantly,
exactly.
with the laws. And we have so much work to do still. Mm-hmm. And so there are still abortions happening. There are still women who are abortion-minded. We also know anecdotally, go and ask your nearest pregnancy center. They will very likely tell you, yes, we have seen a major increase in abortion-minded women coming to our centers.
Mm-hmm.
So they need help. They need financial help. They need more volunteers. All these places need more help. There is a lot of shortage of help that these places have, again, both volunteer and financially. And it's sad to see that, because we need to band together now more than ever to continue to build a culture of life.
Yeah.
So, but there's a lot of amazing soldiers on the front lines that are continuing to do this work. And if any of you are hearing this now and you're just thinking, I'm at the end of my rope, I don't think I can do this anymore because we're struggling financially, we're struggling with getting staff or volunteers, please, please, please don't stop. I mean, discern that. That's between you and God, right? If you do have to yeah. step away, but please don't give up. We need you. I know what that's like.
Yeah.
I don't even know how many times I felt burnout mm-hmm. over the years mm-hmm. and I wanted to pull my hair out and run away. Many, many times, but we really need you to keep going. And that's why you have to always have that foundation in prayer. Go mm-hmm. back to the sacraments, go back to asking God, please help me, give me that strength. And what helps me, some of the things that help me are, number one, meeting all these leaders across
sure.
the country. They're working so hard. They're dedicating their lives. Most of them are volunteers. They have full-time jobs. They're homeschooling. They're whatever, right? They're doing such amazing work. They're so faithful. Some of them are just like, well, we haven't seen a save in 5 years, but I'm faithful to God's call that he wants us to be here and that this is effective. You may not have seen a save in 5 years, but that doesn't mean one hasn't happened.
They happened, yeah.
And when you have abortion workers who have conversions and quit and continuously come out of the industry and say, trust us. Your presence means more than you realize. There are. I was in Cleveland a couple of weeks ago, and the Cleveland leader said that Abby Johnson came and spoke at a nearby event and told them that they had two workers that had quit from that facility. Wow. They had no idea till Abby told them that.
Wow.
That means something.
Yeah.
Your prayers are having an impact. There's another abortion worker, Kelly Lester, who's been sharing in her testimony lately that she was in Virginia, and she said, we would have days sometimes inside the abortion facility where we would have things going wrong. The sterilization machine would stop working. The AC would go out, whatever, like things like that, right? And when days like that would happen where it was just chaos, somebody inevitably on staff would say, hey, look out the window. Is that guy there praying with his kids? Like, even if they're atheist or lax Christian, following away Christian, whatever, they know that your prayers and your presence has an impact. They're recognizing that, even though they don't want to admit it to us. So keep going. I mean, that's from the horse's mouth. Like, if nothing else, keep going. Go to the sidewalks. If there's a local 40 Days for Life, go and pray. Your physical presence, if at all possible, matters and makes more of an impact than you will never than you will ever know on this side of heaven.
So let's talk then as we wind this up here in the next couple of minutes. When is the dates for the fall campaign?
So fall campaign for 40 Days for Life is coming up September 25th and goes through November 3rd. Sunday right before Election Day. Yeah. So be praying hard.
Yeah, exactly.
We all need prayers. Everybody
Amen.
Needs prayers.
Amen.
No matter what the turnout. But you can go to 40daysforlife.com and click location to find the nearest location to you. I know there's one in Waco. There's a couple of locations in Austin. There's some in the Dallas area as well. And there's a College Station location where they have more of an awareness campaign that's going on where you can go and pray and hold signs and pass out information. So check it out, 40daysforlife.com/location. And if you want to learn more about sidewalk outreach, just go to 40daysforlife.com/university and you'll find information about outreach there. And you can either sign up as a group to do a video trainings, or you can do the video trainings on your own. And then I am here to help you with follow-up questions or scenarios or anything like that. Most of the time, it's literally just you probably have what it takes. You probably have enough knowledge and information. You just need to step out and do it.
And it's 40, the number 40,
yes.
40daysforlife.com.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So go check it out, folks. As Heather mentioned, we know that there's a vigil in Waco and in two in Austin. A lot of opportunities for you to participate in this endeavor that does happen twice a year. And we do need to continue our education. And I'm going to make a plug for a lot of all of the pregnancy centers, pregnancy resource centers in Central Texas. And last time I looked, there were 37 of them within the Armor of God footprint.
Oh,
so
that sounds about right.
That's a footprint that has expanded. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
But you think about that. So, you know, there's three abortion facilities and there's 37 pregnancy resource centers.
Mm.
So just in our little footprint, you know, granted it's 2 million people, but yeah, there's plenty of opportunities for you to get involved in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Continue educating your family and your friends and yourself. Because the fight to change the hearts and minds, change the culture, is not over. Heather, thanks again for coming and taking some time out of your busy calendar and coming and joining us here in Hometown Heroes.
I'm so glad to be here with you, and thank you all who listen and support this very important station, just bringing Christ to so many people.
Amen.